I am Plant on the Line in Vancouver at thecommentary.ca. There's a new website that showcases more than 8,000 books that have been published by publishers in British Columbia. It's comprehensive and regularly updated. That's been launched by the Association of Book Publishers of British Columbia and powered by the 49th Shelf. Go to bcbooks.49thshelf.com to see the website. Joining me now is Margaret Reynolds. She's the executive director of the ABPBC, and we'll talk about the site, the state of BC publishing industry as well. It seems to be in good shape just by looking at the number of books on the database as well as the breadth of the genres that come out of the great publishers in this province each and every season. By the way, this new database is good too for the holiday season. If you're looking for Christmas gifts of the sort, it's a good place to start. The ABPBC is a provincial association of book publishing companies that was founded in 1974. Visit books.bc.ca for more. Please welcome back to the Plant Online program, Margaret Reynolds. Ms. Reynolds, good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining us.
Well, you're welcome.
So it's always good to get the state of the publishing industry in BC when we talk. So this new database, I mean, it's also a great way just to see the variety and the number of books published in this province. How did it come about?
Yeah, it is a pretty magnificent site, I have to say. It's taken a very long time for us to get to this place, but I'm really pleased with the result. With 8,500 ISBNs, it represents a huge number of our members and huge number of our members' titles. So, and as you say, it has huge, amazing variety of books, scholarly, nonfiction of all kinds, fiction, kids' books. So, it really is a great place to go for the Christmas season, as well as other groups of people will use it, I'm sure. It started off in, 2007, actually. We were interested in, as an association, of putting together a collection of e-books. That's where we began. BC was pretty much at the forefront of e-book development in Canada, and we wanted to put a collection potentially for purchase by librarians in the province. Over time, that morphed into what has become what we call a discoverability tool. There wasn't the appetite in the government or even in the libraries, perhaps at the time, to purchase a collection of e-books. And as the libraries developed their knowledge and their technology, particularly in the public library market, they were purchasing our books, but what they really needed was to discover our books. So hence this notion of trying to find a spot to collect all of our books together and put them on a microsite. And 49th Shelf was launched during that period of time, and so that seemed the best tool for it.
And for people that don't know what 49th Shelf is, it's this website that features books from across Canada.
Yeah, it was a project of the Association of Canadian Publishers. We are an affiliate of the Association of Canadian Publishers, so it was a big endeavor as well, and it also was trying to help to address this discoverability issue for Canadian books, any books actually, I guess, but mm-hmm. In our case, of course, we're interested in letting the public know about Canadian books, and so with the help of the Canada Book Fund through Canadian Heritage, the Association of Canadian Publishers put this site together. So it's a public-facing site. I guess it's a little bit like Goodreads, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And it features books by Canadian authors and by Canadian publishers.
And so this BC, the BC version, I guess, mm-hmm. if you will, bcbooks.49thshelf.com,
mm-hmm.
You can go there and you can see, I guess, as soon as the book's published and the publisher gives you all the information, it goes up on there, does it?
Yeah, it's actually, it goes up in different... This is how it goes up. It's a bit complicated,
yeah.
And I'll try and make it short, but it should go up automatically when the publishers publish the book. So when they enter all the data about their titles,
uh-huh.
it's picked up through what's called BiblioShare,
uh-huh.
Dumped into the site, and when you go onto the BC Books online site, which is really a microsite within the 49th Shelf larger site, it will the BISAC codes that are entered in onto BiblioShare will sort the titles into various categories. So if you're looking for books on art and architecture or Canadian history, natural history, whatever, it will show up on the navigation bar on the right-hand side. Now, we've taken that a step further for our friends in the library community and sorted on a bit more granular level. And we have another navigation bar that says BC Reading List. Uh-huh. If you go into those lists, you can sort by books about the Caribou, books, LGBT books, First Nations titles. And eventually, we'll have more categories that the public libraries were looking for. We will do categories for award-winning books, the environment, those kinds of things, so that they're able to serve their patrons who are, you know, probably right now because of the summit in Paris looking for books on the environment. Mm-hmm. They want to put on displays. They may not have our books, but they'll be able to pull that information from BC Books Online.
You mentioned something a moment ago about the BC being at the forefront of e-book development. Mm-hmm. In terms of sales, I mean, do you have a figure in terms of the breakdown between, say, the purchase of e-books in this province versus, say, tactile books?
Yeah. We've actually just released a sector profile that Creative BC, the economic agency, undertook uh-huh. to get a baseline of what's going on in our industry. And that study showed that our sales are around 7% e-books, and the rest would be print in various formats. So it's probably shocking to most of your listeners that it probably looks low given yeah. all the chit-chat about e-books, but the numbers in the States are higher, and that's largely because e-books are sell best in genre fiction, like romance, uh-huh. literature, and that sort of thing. So we're at 7%. We are the highest in the country for e-book sales. So that early adoption really put us into a place where we were very knowledgeable, where our members had adapted to the new system of conversion and distribution. And the association also helped in education and also helping with conversion during the period of time that we were developing BC Books Online as well, so that we would have as many books as we could possibly have in e-book format as well.
You know, I'm hearing, you know, anecdotally from people that I talk to, as well as people, you know, on Twitter and the sort, and Facebook, about how they rely on the public libraries for e-books.
Yeah.
And there's a story in the news a week or two ago about, just because of the low dollar, how difficult it is for the public library to stretch their dollar because they have to buy e-books and they have to pay, I guess, that premium on the exchange rate.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So people are reading e-book. Maybe I'm talking to the wrong people, I guess. But it seems to be well subscribed that people are, I guess, taking out e-books out of the public library.
Absolutely, you know, definitely, and I have to say that the public libraries and university libraries, taking a bit longer for the education market to come up to the same kind of level, but certainly the public libraries are really well equipped and are very attentive to e-book development of their collections in e-books. So they've done a magnificent job, in my view. And so yes, I have never done this, but yeah. I understand that it's quite easy now to download. It was a bit cumbersome for
yeah.
a while, but now it's quite easy to download your books. And of course, they've got all kinds of people in the libraries who will help their patrons to do this. And I know I know from the VPL did a very interesting project last year where they gave Kobos to some of their younger patrons and who couldn't afford to buy their own e-book device.
Uh-huh.
They showed them how to, you know, download the books from the library, and apparently it was very successful. I mean, the kids loved to have these e-books and to be seen reading e-books
yeah.
as they come in about their business.
I mean, it's great that people are reading in general.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I still want that book in my hand. I want, you know, the pages. I want to go to the mm-hmm. local independent bookstore and buy my books there.
Yeah. Yeah, and absolutely. I think what we're looking at is just another format. Mm-hmm. You know, we've gone through. Well, one of my colleagues once said, "You're going to remember that we haven't had a format change in publishing for, you know, 50 years ago when we got mass market, but prior to that, it was probably 500 years ago when we got Gutenberg." So, we're kind of resistant to change. I mean, resistant in some way, but also, I mean, the book is just a perfect vehicle for delivering the product that it wants to deliver. So, it's not the same kind of object as in music where their physical object really took a hit because it wasn't the perfect delivery mechanism in today's world. Ours is still a really good delivery mechanism, I think, a book.
Yeah.
A print book.
Yeah,
but I think it's really incumbent on publishers to provide mm-hmm. their material. Our job is communication. We want to get it out to as many people as possible, and if there's a format that will appeal to one sector of the public, or if they use it in a different way, people use it for traveling and that sort of thing, then it's incumbent on us to make sure that the public can have those books in that format.
Yeah, I've noticed with authors that I have on the program, a year or two ago, it used to be the book comes out, and then they say, well, the e-book will be coming up shortly. Now it's at the same time.
It's all at the same time.
Yeah.
That's called windowing, for a while there the industry was very afraid that if we released the print book, the e-book at the same time as the print book, it would cannibalize print sales. Mm-hmm. And of course, print sales are you know what we want to achieve in mm-hmm. terms of the payback. There's no evidence that that's happening. So now we release everything at once. It's just another format. We treat it the same way. I mean, it has its own distribution network and all of those and marketing network. But basically, we release it all at the same time.
So when I go to bcbooks.49thshelf.com mm-hmm. and I look at all the books there, and you mentioned it was 8,500 books or so, mm-hmm. and that's growing season after season.
Mm-hmm.
It suggests to me that the state of BC publishing is good. Is it?
It is good. I mean, we have again. The study shows how stable we are. We're not growing at a huge rate, and that's partially this discoverability issue. That it's very difficult for publishers anywhere in the world actually now mm-hmm. to get the word out about the books that we publish with the changes in print media. It's very difficult to get reviews, and so you know, publishers I think in BC have done an excellent job of looking at niche markets, getting out to niche markets, doing all kinds of innovative marketing activity. But the growth, where that would have at one point been growth, now it means stability. Mm. So we have some challenges still, but I would say we're still publishing in a wide range of genres. We're still publishing a lot of BC authors. We're doing, our books are sold in over 90 countries. So we're publishing really well.
Yeah, I mean, I'm always struck season after season when I'm offered books for the program, just how good our writers are. And it says something about just how unique BC is as opposed to, say, other provinces.
Yeah, I think we've traditionally had a unique combination of library activity, writers, excellent writers, and good publishers. And we used to have a breadth of booksellers.
Uh-huh.
We don't have that breadth anymore, but the booksellers that we do have are also doing well. So that confluence of activity, I think, has led to a really rich culture. And I think we get better and better. You look at the way the production values of our books, the design of our books, they could stand up anywhere in the world. They're beautiful.
And do we publish more in this province, say, than other provinces? I mean, say of Ontario, maybe?
Yeah. I don't have any statistics on that, but I suspect that we are slightly below Ontario, mm-hmm. and we would be the second largest, actually, in the country.
And in terms of sales themselves, Christmas, I guess, that's a boon for book publishers everywhere, isn't it?
It's still the time when most trade publishers sell their list. That's absolutely true, yeah.
And the low dollar, I mentioned, I touched on that earlier. Mm-hmm. How does that affect BC publishers? I mean, it's probably a better time to buy BC books, right?
Well, it's a better time to buy BC books. We benefit. If our publishers are exporters, of course, they're benefiting from this. And that will add to their bottom line. But, I think it's always good to support local writers and authors, authors and publishers. So go out and buy our books.
Indeed, yeah. I had Trevor Carolyn on for his book on the history of the Vancouver, the Literary Arts Center in Vancouver back in the 70s and 80s, early 70s and 80s. I know that your organization has been looking at, replicating that. Mm-hmm. Where are you on that?
We are about to receive a feasibility study. It's the third. These processes take a while. What we're doing is different from the Literary Storefront. We're looking at, which was a really wonderful initiative, when he and Mona were involved in it.
Mm-hmm.
What we're doing is quite a different animal. We started off as a building for just administrative purposes, basically to try and solve the huge rents in this province. We will have an event space, hopefully, and many other many other aspects to it. But that's what we're looking at right now. The city has been supporting us, and we've had a number of feasibility studies that trying to identify the amount of space that we need, where it might be located, what we would like to see in it, and that sort of thing. So the third feasibility study is coming out in December,
uh-huh.
and in January we will be expanding our committee and moving forward, hopefully, to identify a building. We haven't decided yet whether we will be able to lease or buy. It's all dependent on how much money we can raise, and which is no small thing for a small group of people. So, but yes, we're moving ahead, and there's considerable enthusiasm for the project. So I'm hoping that we'll be able to put some money together in order to make this become a reality, because I think it would be a wonderful addition to our literary community here.
Yeah, it is a rich community as it is, and I think only this place would only make it better, I think.
Yeah, I think there's lots of potential. It's a complicated activity, but we're pretty determined. We have to find a solution to the administration costs, and I think we could create a place that would be very lively and would draw the public to it for literary activities. There's certainly a lot going on.
There are, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Know better than I, probably.
It's always, you look at the weekends and just even during the week, just how much stuff there's going on.
Mm.
It's hard to get to everything that you'd want to, you know?
Yeah, it's very hard, yeah.
It's nice talking again, Margaret. Thanks for this. All the best.
Thank you so much. Right. Bye-bye and have a Merry Christmas.
The same. Thank you.
I guess we can start saying that now.
We can, yeah. The website's for more, bcbooks.49thshelf.com and books.bc.ca. Margaret Reynolds is the Executive Director of the Association of Book Publishers of British Columbia. She joined me on the line from here in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Plunta.